Ottawa-based company owner pleads guilty in death of young worker. Carbon monoxide poisoning in Calgary sends 7 to hospital. Benzene levels in Amjinnan First Nation are off the charts high. Ariel Henry is out as president of Haiti, and a massacre has been identified by Human Rights Watch in Burkina Faso. Good morning. It's Friday, April 26th. That's right. It's Friday. Here are your headlines. We start this morning in Ottawa, where Sheldon Best Green has pled guilty to not ensuring a safe work environment after a young worker died while working for him. 20-year-old Nick Chenier worked for Best Green's company called Best Green Hedges. While trimming a hedge, he hit a hydro line and was electrocuted to death. Best Green was charged alongside supervisor Stephen Deans. Chenier's mother and younger brother both read victim impact statements that said their lives had been ruined since Chenier's death. Best Green expressed remorse, and by pleading guilty, he sped up the process. But Chenier's death was avoidable. The penalty levied against the company will be just $50,000. His mother, Jennifer Chenier, had hoped for a more severe outcome. Best Green had agreed that more training was necessary for workers who work on elevated platforms and that tools that conduct electricity should not be used when a worker is working around live electrical wires. As for Deans, he has been criminally charged, and those proceedings are ongoing. Next to Calgary, where a carbon monoxide leak at a parkade at the Brentwood High Rise has poisoned several people, sending 7 to hospital. Terry Fikowski from CTV News is reporting that when fire crews arrived, the carbon monoxide level was 50 parts per million at the entrance of the parkade. And once they were inside, the levels jumped to 1,000 parts per million. Fikowski reminds viewers that there is no safe level of carbon monoxide to breathe in. The cause was likely a pressure washer that workers were using inside the parkade. That's the same thing that poisoned a young worker at a co-op grocery store in Saskatchewan that you will remember me mentioning earlier this week. The workers using the pressure washer were first to fall ill, and when fire crews showed up, 5 others were sick enough to need medical attention. Firefighter Brett Fallman reminds people to never operate gas-powered devices within closed structures, as carbon monoxide poisoning is always a risk. Next to Amjinnan First Nation in southwestern Ontario, which has declared a state of emergency due to a significant spike in benzene in the air. The community is near Sarnia, Ontario, in what is called Chemical Valley, one of Ontario's most polluted communities and the birthplace of Canada's petrochemical industry. Very high levels of benzene were found in the air. Very high is 191.3 micrograms per meter cubed. They were found to be coming from the shutdown of the INEOS Styrolution plant. To give you an idea of what is acceptable for benzene, the Environment Ministry has set an average of 0.45 micrograms per meter cubed as the limit. Again, the amount detected was 191.3, way off the charts compared to 0.45. There was also a benzene spike reported 2 weeks ago, and then dozens of people reported feeling sick and some were hospitalized. Patty Sontag, Carolyn Jarvis, and Andrew Russell from Global News report that last Thursday, the Ministry of the Environment, Conservation, and Parks ordered INEOS to create a plan to deal with the high benzene levels. They gave them 2 weeks to implement new public warnings and less than a month to figure out what's causing the leak. Back in 2022, a United Nations report said this about Amjinnan First Nation, quote, "One of the most notorious pollution hotspots in Canada, Chemical Valley in Sarnia, Ontario, has disturbing health effects on Amjinnan First Nation. There are more than 40 large petrochemical, polymer, oil refining, and chemical facilities in close proximity to Amjinnan, as well as a coal-fired power plant. This Indigenous community endures some of the worst air quality in Canada. Physical and psychological health problems are common, including high rates of miscarriages, childhood asthma, and cancer." Next, Ariel Henry, the Prime Minister of Haiti, has finally resigned. With his resignation comes a possibility to find new leadership to navigate the country out of its current crisis. Reminder that Henry was never elected. He was appointed after the assassination of the former Prime Minister, Jovenel Moïse. In the interim, Michel-Patrick Boisvert has been appointed as PM. He was serving as the country's economy minister. Henri has not been in Haiti for months. He has had U.S. Secret Service security overseas and agreed last month that he would resign. A transitional council will soon be established, comprised of 9 members, 7 of whom can vote. They will plan for an election in 2026. Many leaders of what the press has called gangs, and I'm very hesitant to use that because I think they're probably more sophisticated than what we might imagine a gang is, but many of the leadership of the gangs in Haiti have called for a seat at the table and were frustrated to not be given one. They control 80% of Haiti's capital, Port-au-Prince, suggesting that it would be folly to not include them a little bit, at least, at the table that decides Haiti's future. Murders in the country have risen by 50% over the last year, and 360,000 people are internally displaced. Kenya plans to coordinate a security force in the country. Many Haitians are tired of international meddling and have been calling for countries to allow Haitians to deal with their own issues. And finally, a new report from Human Rights Watch alleges that the military in Burkina Faso killed 220 civilians in a single day on February 25th. 179 people were killed in a village called Soro, and 44 were killed in the village of Nandang. Both are near each other. It's alleged that the Burkina Faso military carried out the massacre. Human Rights Watch said that this is the worst mass killing in Burkina Faso in a decade. Witnesses have said that Islamist fighters passed nearby Nandang, and then 30 minutes later, the Burkina Faso military came by. They went door to door and threw people out of their homes. They rounded people up and they shot them, saying that they had facilitated the Islamic rebels. More than a third of Burkina Faso is controlled by jihadist groups. The military junta in control of Burkina Faso has promised to put an end to their violence, though have used repressive and violent tactics in their struggle against them. Those are your headlines for Friday, April 26th. It's Friday. I'm Nora. Oh, I'm so happy the week is done. Ottawa, I'm coming for you. If you have nothing to do this weekend, come by the Ottawa Book and Food Expo. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be moderating some panels with someone who used to be on Much Music. So that'll be kind of fun. You can check us out, I think, at Lansdowne Park, but all the information is found online. Ottawa Food and Book Expo. Otherwise, for everyone else who's not in Ottawa, I hope you enjoy your weekend. I hope it's going to be a beautiful weekend too, as spring is finally springing in most parts of Canada, of course. You are listening to this podcast at sandynora.com on the Real News Network podcast feed and anywhere you get your podcasts. I will talk to you on the other side from Ottawa.